Hey, he just got done with his live chat, ArgusLeader.com, moments ago. Does it every Tuesday at 2. Our good friend Matt Zimmer from the Argus Leader. Hey, Matt, good afternoon.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Pretty good. Pretty good. We've been talking a little bit this week about these major conferences that will be formed, NCAA Division One. You know, five super conferences. I certainly believe it's going to have a domino effect all the way down into Division Two and Division Three. Have you followed this issue at all to see what kind of ramifications could affect, like the Northern Sun and USF and Augustana?
Honestly, no. I kind of don't have enough room in my head to keep track of college conferences and levels that aren't part of my job. But you always hear that whatever happens at that highest level, there's always a trickle down, and I'm not sure how far that extends, you know. In some instances, obviously, it does, as far as, you know, scholarships or money. And obviously, everyone, I think, at every level of college sports is looking very interestingly at the whole idea of college athletes being unionized and being compensated and everything. That obviously will have a trickle-down effect. As far as all the conference realignment and stuff like that, I don't know. Because, I mean, obviously, even before that started happening, at the Division One level, there's always been talk around here about, you know, is the Northern Sun going to stay together? Is it going to break into two pieces? There's been talk about a Minnesota Division Two conference with all the Minnesota schools and the Northern Sun sort of breaking off and going their own way.
Yeah, I've heard that
Who knows?
Well, you know, when it comes to money, at least on the Division One level, there's 228 Division One schools, and their studies out, only 23 made money last year, and there are hundreds more in Division Two, and they're not making any money either. And that's why I really believe the Northern Sun has to get out and let their members get a money game when it comes to football. I would love to see that happen. Do you think that could happen down the road?
Obviously they were in that situation until the league expanded again, and I just know from talking to the coaches here, Jed Stugart's been in favor of it. Mike Aldrich was very much in favor of it. I've never asked Jerry Olszewski about it, but I'd have to assume he's in favor of it just because I know Augustana as a program has been. Ever since they built their new stadium, you know, they liked the idea of, at the time that they built it, that was before the entire schedule was Northern Sun games. So they went into it every year saying, okay, we've got our 10 conference games, and let's always go out and get a home game so we can have six home games at Kirkby Over Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not a money game, though. That's them paying. You know, Augustana was saying, hey, we're going to bring somebody else in here because we want to have another home game on our home field. So it's not necessarily a case of where every school is going to treat it that way. USF has done that, obviously, going to North Dakota a couple times, going to McNeese State a couple years ago. St. Cloud State's done it. Several schools in the league have done it. That's what makes it such a weird sort of issue, because sometimes there's people who are both in favor of it, but for different reasons. You know, you've got schools that, hey, we want to go out and get a money game, like you said, bring in some revenue to the program, go out and play a Division One school or a 1AA school or something like that, get a check. That's perfectly understandable. But then again, you've got someone like Augie, who they just want to get another home game, you know, bring people over to their brand new stadium. You know, I can't speak for what a school like Crookston or Minnesota Moorhead or Minot State, whether they're for it or against it, but I could certainly see one of their coaches saying, hey, we want to have the ability to go out and schedule an NAIA team because we need to get a win. You know, if they can go out in that non-conference game and schedule someone from Division III or NAIA. So to me, that's why it makes the most sense to do it, because there's more than one reason to do it. You know, you can do it for the money. You can have that money game, like I said, but you can also go out and try and get yourself a win. You can try and schedule yourself another home game. So to me, it makes perfect sense, because there's more than one reason to do it. I just wonder if there's some other schools, whether it's the head coach or the athletic director or whoever, who's just saying, you know, it's nice to be in a conference and just let them take care of the schedule for us. You hope that isn't the reason.
Well,
that's
being lazy there. I could see two non-conference games that allows you to have one on the road, one at home, and you know, get those games in before the Northern Sun Conference starts. But let's see what happens. But I really believe what this super conference thing here in a couple of years could have a drastic impact of what may happen with the lower levels of division NCAA football. I hope not, but who knows what the 65 or 70 schools will be asking and getting here in the next year or so. It looks like you're not going to be playing baseball tonight. It's too rainy, so which is good because your Renner Monarchs, they need you, Mr. Zimmer. You're hitting the ball all over the place for them.
You know, I like to say the sun shines on a dog's behind once in a while. So,
you know, I just it's just one of those things where you got the opportunity to still play ball. I mean that's what amateur baseball is around here. It's pretty big around some of these cities.
Yeah, you know, I was saying to a couple of friends the next day after the game Friday night, for people who don't know, we were losing 7-1 going into the last inning and rallied for 7 runs to win the game, which is pretty remarkable even for us. No one on our team had really remembered ever being a part of something like that. And I had a pretty big hit to help that cause. And after the game we were talking about, I said, you know, there's a lot of guys that play ball because they're so good at it and they've had so many years of, you know, being, whether it's a college player or a professional player or whatever it is, and that's kind of what keeps them going. And that's never what it's been for me because I was never a superstar kind of player. And I suspect that there's a lot of other people who are in a similar situation to where I am, in that, you know, part of it is the challenge of trying to compete with people who have been that good, you know, and, you know, challenge yourself against people who are better than you or mm-hmm. got better coaching than you, played at a higher level than you, whatever. But also, you know, I've almost had sort of I compared it to Forrest Gump almost a little bit, in that I just seem to have these, end up in these weird situations that you wouldn't expect and sort of have these random moments of, I don't want to use the word excellence, certainly, but just when I kind of think that, you know, what am I doing out here? I'm probably too old. I shouldn't be doing this anymore. You know, you have a great day or a great moment or whatever it is. It just kind of reminds you why it is that you can't hang it up and why it is that you keep doing it. And as long as you keep having those moments, you know, I think if you're like me, you're grateful enough for them to realize that, you know, other people probably wish they could do that. And so I think, and that's, I think, one thing that has made our team successful is we have a lot of guys, not just that are good at it, but really appreciate the ability to keep going out and competing and hanging out as a team and everything. And I think we've always had a very good perspective and an understanding that we're all part of something pretty special and that, you know, you should be appreciative of that and not take it for granted.
What you working on for the Argus for the rest of the week? Things have slowed down for you here for the rest of the week, I think.
Finally, yeah, a little bit. Well, I'm supposed to cover the Canaries tonight, but that's not looking too good. And then I'm also going to be working on a story on Parker Douglas, the Storm kicker, former Jackrabbit. He's been there forever, it seems like now, and mm-hmm. he might be having his best season. They've kind of been really relying on him more than usual the last year or so, and so I wanted to kind of catch up with him on maybe why he's had such good, because actually last year he struggled a little bit. So one, to talk a little bit about how he's bounced back, and two, but kind of, you know, what keeps driving him, whether or not he's still holding out hope for another shot at the NFL or whether at this point he's just doing this for fun. So that should be interesting to hear what he's got to say.
All righty. Hey, Matt, thanks for the time today. We'll see you later.
All right, guys. See you.
Matt Zimmer from the Argus Leader. He does his own live chat every Tuesday at 2 at argusleader.com.